T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
When it's time to party, we will party hard.
It's Buffalo Bills Football Friday.
Long term, I think Josh Allen's going to be great. I like him a lot. I don't like him in the role this early because I just worry that things could go real bad, and I don't want to see that happening to a guy that I think has Carson Wentz-type ability and maybe even a better arm.
You know, obviously with the title comes, you know, running some meetings, and, you know, I've learned from Nate and AJ. It's still going to be a process, you know, being my first week and all. But just understanding what we need to do. You know, I'm not going to really take a different approach. Last week I got in same time that I got in this week, you know, just trying to be the first one in, last one out, and, you know, always preparing like you're going to be the guy. So, you know, not much on that front's going to change.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Happy Football Friday, everybody.
Happy anniversary.
What's today's date?
Today's date is September 14th.
14th. September 14th.
Uh-huh. This is a fun game to start. Every day I check.
How many years in this anniversary?
I don't want to tell you yet.
That'll give it away?
I don't want to tell you yet. I don't want to tell you yet.
Will that give it away?
Not particularly. It'll help. It'll be that's Hintland.
September 14th.
I mean, there's a pretty good clue in that it's right around the start of football season. And
start of Sabres training camp,
yep,
too.
Yep, start of Sabres training camp, that's right. My Facebook feed, though, has alerted me to three posts on the same day on September 14th, maybe even four posts now that I look back. Let me see how many times I wrote about this.
Was this your J.P. Lossman, I'm done with you?
No. One, two, three... Four times. Four times in one night between the hours of, 5 o'clock and 11 o'clock.
You were writing after a Bills game, something.
Yes, this would have been the evening of September 14th, 2009.
I think Edwards might have benched?
Howard says Edwards benched?
I was going to say the right after the Packers game.
No.
No?
It was not. The Packers game was the second game of the season.
Right.
This was an opener. September 14th opener.
Okay, that rules out E.J. Carolina, right?
Wasn't that a second game? It was not E.J. Carolina. It is a game.
Opener on the 14th.
It is a game that every Bills fan will no doubt remember.
Leotis?
Kelvin deep at the 10-yard line for Buffalo Bills. And Gostkowski hits it end over end. Coming down to McKelvin, a yard, 2 yards deep in the end zone.
Oh, Lord, help us.
To the 5, to the 10, got an alley. 15-20, banged at the 25-yard line and down at about the 28. Fumble on the play. Big pileup. Let's see what we have.
It's a fumble.
Let's see what we have before we get to
it. It's a fumble, dude.
We got it. Patriots recover the fumble.
Why do you do these things?
Because
I'm in a good mood today.
Do you want to know something?
No.
It was actually a pretty good return up
it
to that point.
It was a nice return.
It was not a bad return. He had him out to like the 30 or 35. Yeah, it was.
And you had to send out the YouTube link, huh?
9 years ago today. Oh, man. He's
happy anniversary.
Watch it again.
Now, is he still in the league?
Possibly.
Is he playing anywhere?
He's out to the 28 here. Not a bad return. Watching it again, he gets this ball. Like the kickoff comes, and everyone's saying, like, just, you know, kneel on it. He catches it at the goal line, backpedaling, goes a good, like, 4 yards deep. And I defended the decision to bring it out because, you know, you could just fall down, Leotis. Instead, he runs right into a dude, and it doesn't go well. 9 years ago. Happy anniversary.
Thanks.
Welcome.
I don't know what I get you for this.
Yeah,
box of tissues?
What is the ninth anniversary?
Ninth anniversary of one of the more colossal turnovers in Bills history?
It really is amazing that happened, right? The ninth anniversary
is... 24-12 in that game?
It's leather. The modern edition is leather.
I'll get you a leather football.
Okay. Normally...
24-12, right?
Traditionally, it's willow. Mm. Yeah, like a nature gift. So there you go. And now it's personalized leather. So... You can get me that for the McKelvin anniversary.
14th, 2009. Thanks, man. 25-24. Mm-hmm.
They were up by...
24-13 when Fred Jackson got a 10-yard pass from Trent Edwards to make it 24-13 with 5:32 to go in the fourth
quarter. In the fourth quarter. That is,
I thought it was 24-12, but 11-point lead with 5:32 to go.
Yep. And you lost, and it wasn't even on the last play. The Bills got the ball back with a chance to try and win it again.
Ben Watson's touchdown, says here, was 50 seconds left on the clock.
Yep. And
they
then
scored with 2:06 left, went for two, didn't get it, and then scored with 50 seconds left. Ha! Good times!
Good times. Yep. What can you say?
I think I might take a one-point game Sunday.
I bet you would. Were you freaking out last night when the Bengals went up by 21?
I turned the game off.
Yeah?
I turned the game off before it got to that.
Did it really bother you?
I turned
you?
The game off at 14-0.
Okay.
I don't really bother me.
I don't really buy that.
But I knew what was coming. And I even saw the tweet from Pro Football Talk last night during the game. The Bills must really suck. I knew what was coming.
Right, right. I expect that. But does anyone really believe that?
I didn't think Baltimore was that good. I don't think the Bills are that bad, but I knew what was coming. I knew everybody would immediately say, wow, the same team that beat Buffalo 47-3 is getting thrashed by Cincinnati. The Bills are awful. They're the worst team in the league. And I knew it was, so I turned the game off.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just thinking about, like, what other teams will have that happen to them. Who else got
Cincinnati out? Might be really good this year.
You know, I
remember Sal told us after the preseason game, he picked the Bengals to win the division. He said, guys, I was really impressed with them. They've always had a good defensive front. Then they have a good, I mean, A.J. Green is one of the best receivers. If Eifert stays healthy, they could be one of the, they could, maybe they beat Pittsburgh for that
they
division. Who knows?
Very good weapons.
Yeah.
And their quarterback is okay. You know, he's okay to kind of good. We've seen what bad is for a while. Whatever, not that Tyrod was bad. We've seen okay for a while, and then we saw really bad in Nathan Peterman. And you look at Dalton and say, oh, yeah, maybe he's not that bad. And then again, he's popular around here nowadays, so maybe we bump him up
a
couple of notches.
We're pulling for him, yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't look at last night's game and think, wow, the Bills will be lucky to keep it within 50 because, you know, it's matchups and it's a short week. Those games can get sloppy. Cincinnati's at home on a night game. Baltimore's on a short week where maybe they only kind of played half a game, right? Baltimore didn't play a full 60 minutes where they had to stay dialed in. I mean, I'm not saying that it's not indicative of how bad the Bills might be, but I wasn't freaking out about it. My big thing was checking to make sure I'm not playing against A.J. Green in any leagues.
Oh, yeah, he had three touchdowns.
Right,
yeah.
And three touchdowns in the first half.
Yeah.
Five catches overall for 69 yards, which is nice. And that's about it. I think he kind of ended there. If you had A.J. Green after that third touchdown on your fantasy team, you're probably thinking he's going to score 100 points. And he kind of petered off a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, As I said, you know, Baltimore played way over their head in the opener. We all know that. And the Bills, who knows what their record is going to be? You know, maybe they end up going 2-14. I have no idea. But they're not as dreadful as it was on Sunday. So I'm not like, oh my God, this definitely means the Bills are going 0-16. The team that thrashed them got beat themselves. I knew what the reaction around the league was going to be. Anybody who's watching the Baltimore game is going to tweet out essentially what Pro Football Talk did, that, you know, this is what we do in sports. Well, this team lost to that team by 44, and then that team got their butt kicked. So the team that lost to them by 44 must be the worst team the NFL has ever fielded in the history of its sport, which is false. But I just didn't want to deal with it. So I don't know what I turned on. I probably watched a rerun of Spin City. I have no idea.
Well, the league is talking about Josh Allen, Spin City, underrated show.
Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, it was not bad.
I always like him, yeah.
The league is talking about the decision to go to Josh Allen. Did you get a chance to peek at Albert Breer's piece?
I did because you tweeted it out.
I did.
So I read it, yeah.
So Albert Breer at Sports Illustrated Monday Morning Quarterback, he wrote about the Bills' move to Josh Allen. And, you know, it's just, I think it's a pretty solid rundown of what has happened and where the Bills are and why this is happening. It's standard.
Yeah.
But there's one little note in here that you kind of have to take with a grain of salt. You would say, do I believe this, or is this a little bit of damage control?
Okay, if I believe it, I know what note you're going to point out. If I believe it, then I'd like to have a discussion with you about what was the plan.
Right. The note in here from Albert Breer, I'll read, he says, regarding the decision to start Josh Allen, the Bills did on Wednesday what they would have done August 27th if Allen hadn't crumbled behind an onslaught of Bengals pass rushers in the team's third preseason game. That sentence is the whole article to me.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to start Josh Allen until
Until he threw up all over himself.
Until that, but he didn't even throw up all over himself.
Well, the whole team did, yeah.
The line was Allen could have been better, but yeah. it was a look into what Allen would be up against this year. And I think for a lot of people that wanted Allen to start the season, the Bengals game, for them, I would say this is true for me too, was a, oh yeah, this is going to be, if we throw him back there, this is going to be a mess. Mm-hmm. So then that happened, and the Bills said, pretty much exactly that. We can't throw him back there. 1 week later, it's, well, what else are we going to do?
Yeah, so, but if it's true, then the plan was, as they talked about calculated and development, all basically the plan was we want Josh to win the job.
Yep.
And we're not going to put him out with the ones right away, right? We're barely going to get him time with the ones in the OTAs. We're going to go to camp. He's going to be with the threes. We're going to rotate McCarron and Peterman with the ones. But all along, there's a little voice saying, we want Josh to win. We want Josh to win. But we're not going to throw him out there right away. So it sounds to me like the plan was, we hope Josh is going to win the job, but we'll start him out with the threes. If he doesn't look bad, hey, we'll move him up to the twos. Oh, he doesn't look too bad with the twos. Let's move him up to the ones. As long as he looks competent against the Bengals, he is going to be our starting quarterback. And then he and the offense had their nightmarish game. So, I figured calculated meant they don't want him to play in 2018. But it sounds like they wanted him to win the job and were on the precipice of doing that
prior to
the Bengals game. So it was not red shirt, learn, all this other stuff. And, you know, it was putting him in position to win the job by the end of the third preseason game. And he had 2/3 of the job done, but didn't finish the job in game number 3, right? That's how I'll read Albert Breer's comments.
You know what that means? The Bills did not take the preseason pledge. They got freaked out. They changed course of action
because
by how
that
Bengals game went.
Right.
Which, you know, we had some suggesting that what they were doing, that was also the game, by the way, where we can talk to Sal about this, they decided to shuffle the line during it to see what would happen. If there were injuries.
Was it that game or was it the Browns game?
It was the Bengals game where they were moving guards
in and out and rotating stuff? Okay.
So the plan was to start Josh Allen until it went poorly behind an offensive line that they were shuffling as an experiment against the best defensive front they might face all year.
Did Dawkins play in that game and he sit
he
that
did
one out?
Not play
okay,
in that
so
game.
Okay, so they sat out the left tackle and then rotated the guards.
Yeah.
Against one of the best defensive fronts in the National Football League. And Geno Atkins, you know, roadmapped people. I think that's the game he lifted.
So,
they've lifted Vlad Dukas like up in the air.
The question becomes, is that really what happened? Or is that what is told to Albert Breer for damage control? Now, we were going to start him anyway. Mm-hmm. This is not too far off our path. We were going to start
him. Yeah, right.
Because if you're going to start him, that doesn't exactly sound like the best of ways to finally determine if you're going to do it.
Yeah.
Hey, here comes a dress rehearsal, but we're not going to give you the offensive line you're normally going to have. And then when you look like you don't know what you're doing, we're going to decide not to go to you.
Mm-hmm. It's confusing. Let's see. What would I have to pick? So are you gonna ask me like which would I pick?
Do you think that? I guess what it comes down to is: do you think it's true that they were going to start Josh Allen until the Bengals game unfolded, and then they decided they couldn't?
I'm gonna say yes.
You believe that?
Yeah, because he was moving up the chart. He had gone from third to second string to on what Monday of that week, Sean McDermott announces Josh Allen's going to be our starter against the Cincinnati Bengals. Hey, why are you announcing the start? We want to give him the whole week, see how he reacts, see how he handles it. Yes, I'm going to buy it. I'll believe it.
Okay.
You don't?
I don't.
Damage control?
I don't believe it. And mainly the reason I don't believe it is, like, when does McCarron get traded? He gets traded after the fourth preseason game.
Yeah, right.
So they were going to start Allen, but then they decided that Peterman was their starter. It makes me wonder if throughout the preseason, there was internal debate about who should start in what game.
You almost wonder the McCarron thing would have been, if you buy this, the McCarron thing would have made more sense if he was traded prior to the Bengals game. Like, the Bills would have, at that point, said, you know what, we're just going to make sure against the Bengals. But right now, Josh Allen, thumbs up. He's going to be our starter. So you know what? We can trade AJ McCarron. But let me ask you this in terms of whether you buy it or don't buy it. Actually, no. Go ahead, because whatever I was going to bring up about the question just absolutely slipped my mind.
Okay, well, I've got
McCarron.
Something else for you. John Clayton sneaks in there in his comment that we played in the update that McCarron probably maybe didn't want to be here.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't McCarron, who just signed here, not want to be here?
Because he's looking at being the third string quarterback if they were going to keep three.
But why was he looking at being third string? Because he knows
he's losing the competition, and he's probably not going to be. He's going to be behind Allen too.
Maybe he would also maybe have a great chance of starting this week if he were on the team. Mm-hmm. If he had waited it out 1 week,
but maybe he felt. If the signs are pointing to Peterman winning and Peterman doesn't do well, guess what?
They're going to Allen.
So
right.
What's my point of
so
being
he here? Probably felt that he was in a competition that he wasn't really available for.
Yeah.
Like, sure, I'm here and I'm in this competition, but I don't think I can get anybody's attention and nobody in this building is going to pay attention to me because they go back to Peterman, who did win it in training camp, and then Allen's the next guy. So if I'm not the apple of the coach's eye or the young stud quarterback, what am I here?
For me, the minute he got hurt in the Cleveland game, it felt like it was the competition went from 3-2 because he's injured. And, you know, he doesn't, right? Did he skip the Bengals game maybe with an injury?
He did not play in that game.
So when he got hurt and he's trying to practice that week and he ends up not playing, to me, I felt like at that point it went from a 3-man competition to a 2-man competition. And then, of course, he plays the fourth game. He might have felt the same thing. Like, I basically have been eliminated from this competition. Why do I need to be here?
LeSean McCoy did not play in that Bengals game.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
and that's the game where, not playing, but that's the game where you're supposed to play all your starters.
Did Kelvin Benjamin play?
I think, did Clay play?
Right? Like, this is what you're getting to. The Bengals game is what changed it all, and they didn't put out their first team. So they put the rookie out there with a substandard group. They shuffled the offensive line, and then he lost the job. Okay. It's possible. None of it seems like all that great of a plan. There was an article at theringer.com about the Bills right now.
Benjamin played and Clay played because they had catches in that game.
Theringer.com about how the Bills have definitely charted a course, but it's tough to see how any of it matches up. You know, trust the process, get a lot of picks. All right, good. That sounds great. Then trade away a lot of those picks to move up three different times. Whoa, that seems counterintuitive to what you would do here. Hey, draft a quarterback. That's great. He's going to need some time. Perfect. He's going in week two. Oh, wait, that seems like what you wouldn't want to do. So part of me wonders if the Bills really do have a plan/process or if they're just kind of figuring it out as they go.
I wonder, getting back to the discussion about whether you buy what Albert Breer had written or you think it's damage control. As I said, I buy it because it looked like there was a natural progression that, you know, it went from he starts camp with the threes. He plays that first game against the threes from Carolina. Then he plays against the twos for the Browns. And then he plays against the ones for the Bengals. So I felt there's a natural progression. They keep raising the bar to see how Josh Allen handles the next challenge and then the next challenge after that. So for me, I would buy the idea that they felt they had seen enough in practices and in the first two games of the preseason to feel comfortable saying, we think this kid could be ready for week one. Final test, Cincinnati in the third game of the preseason. That's why I buy it. But the only if it's not true, if it's damage control, then the plan all along was never to start Josh Allen. But let's see what he does against better competition just the same, just to gauge how this kid is coming along.
Neil tweets in with a bit of a conspiracy theory. If you're are you up for one early?
Sure.
All right, let's do
this. Big Oliver Stone fan.
Yeah, Neil writes in. It sounds like Bean versus McDermott.
Yes.
Bean wanted Allen.
Yeah.
McDermott wanted Nate. And when forced to start Allen in week three, McDermott shuffles the line.
Hmm.
Oh, you're putting him in? We'll see how that goes.
I'm going to sit the left tackle and rotate the guards.
Yeah,
I'm not buying a conspiracy theory yet. Somebody called yesterday about this concept that maybe McDermott and Bean didn't see eye to eye on what's going on at quarterback. That Bean wanted Allen to play and that, you know, McDermott wanted Peterman. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I never thought about a conspiracy theory. I'm not going to go there just yet. I'd never rule anything out, but I don't feel like that is the case.
And I would think
they're in, quote, lockstep.
Well, I don't think they're in lockstep, but I don't think that healthy disagreement within an organization or within a room is bad. You know, there's no way that every single scout believes one thing and every single coach believes this. So I think sometimes disagreement can be painted as strife and problems when it really doesn't have to be. So I don't think they have to be in lockstep.
To me, I would wonder if they disagreed more so on the McCarron trade.
If they're in lockstep, here's the thing. If they're in lockstep, then one of them is superfluous. You only need one person.
Yeah.
If everything they think is exactly the same, you say, like, all right, well, one of you guys is fired because we're not getting any new input. It's just two people that say the same thing all the time.
Yeah. I think they could be, I don't know, I think they could agree on the progress of Allen. I'd say I'm buying the Breer thing. It's entirely possible both McDermott and Bean were happy with the progress they saw from Josh Allen and then freaked out after the Bengals game and thought, wow, this could happen in the regular season. He's just not ready to play against ones yet. I would, if there was a disagreement, like I said, to me, I would think it would be more about McCarron, whether, you know, it was right to trade the quote-unquote veteran or the most veteran of the three quarterbacks that you had signed in free agency.
You know another conspiracy theory?
Sure.
This is from a texter. Over-under on Allen's 13.5. Peterman bet the house on the over and threw the game. I don't think that is a funny text. Another texter.
Yeah.
Peterman ran away with the quarterback competition hands down, which forced the Bills to start him. Allen was the plan all along, but they couldn't sell that he won the competition. That I do agree with. That I agree with. But the fact is, maybe they had a bar for him to clear in that Cincinnati game that not only did he not clear that bar, he didn't even get close to it because of how poorly the team played against Cincinnati. I mean, the Bengals game, that preseason game, was the most buzzworthy preseason game I've ever been to. 67,000 people, beautiful Sunday evening, and the offense was...
He was 6 of 12 for 34 yards and was sacked 5 times.
That's bad.
Yeah. Now, again, against a really good defense playing a porous offensive line. That's a terrible matchup for the Bills' offensive line, that particular matchup against the Cincinnati Bengals front.
You might get that week in and week out. Because the Ravens game, while sure, he did some good things, I mean, it is garbage time.
Yeah.
So there has to be, one would think.
And they might, I didn't track it. They had to be substituting guys, right? They weren't I would assume some of their starters on defense were not in when it was 40-0 and Josh Allen is playing the rest of the game. They probably rested guys knowing, hey, we got a short week and we're up 40-0. Let's start pulling some of these guys.
Yeah.
I just didn't track who was on the field
and
for them.
And now they'll game plan for Josh Allen. They know he's going to be the starter. The Chargers will look at tape, see what he does. They'll try to bait him into making certain mistakes. They will try to flush him. I wonder about his mobility and how much that could be a factor for the Bills. It wouldn't surprise me if Allen runs for 60 yards on Sunday. You know, young quarterback, it can be a bad thing if you rely on it too much. But if you're a young quarterback that runs and keeps drives alive, it's one way to continue to get more looks, more reps.
Yeah.
It's 3rd and 8, and he can run for 9 yards. I mean, Tyrod did that, of course, and that's a valuable tool. You just want that to not be the thing that you do all the time. Not that Tyrod did it all the time. Just,
no.
I just don't want someone to say, like, hey, the last guy ran and you didn't like it.
Right.
It can be mixed in and beneficial to a young quarterback just trying to kind of find his way.
I thought, for the most part, Tyrod ran at the right times. I don't think he used it as a crutch. And you'd be worried about a young quarterback using it as a crutch. Now, he ran in Baltimore. Actually, he ran on back-to-back plays. One of them might have, I don't know if both were design runs. I think one of them was. But he ran on back-to-back plays and had good pickups. To me, in a very small sample size of Baltimore, I thought he was using his legs as a crutch. I thought he didn't spend enough time standing in the pocket, giving plays a chance to develop. Now, he saw what was happening to Nathan Peterman, and he realized we're not having a good day, and maybe the line's not holding up, and so forth and so on. So I thought he moved around a little too quickly. I'd like to see, he's a big kid. He's got a big frame. He's strong. He can fight off sacks. He can break sack attempts. I'd like to see him stand back there and be able to make some throws and not at the first sign of pressure or even, as it's referred to, seeing ghosts, automatically think, I got to get the heck out of here. And I thought that was I know you brought it up in the preseason a little bit. I felt I saw it a little bit in the Baltimore game.
It definitely happened. There was one play where he gets pressure from the right side. And someone pointed out on Twitter, like, he's doing good here. And then the right tackle got blown up and he freaked out. And the right tackle was not getting blown up. He was just getting pushed mildly. Mm-hmm. Allen needed to slide and then throw over the middle. And he didn't. He kind of freaked out and ran for a couple of yards. So I'll tell you what. The one thing about this game that's fun is the way I feel about the Bills can do a total 180 if Josh Allen makes a handful of plays that kind of, you know, tap into my, well, maybe he could be great.
Mm-hmm.
I hear John Clayton saying, I think he's going to be great. And I hear that and I think, okay. I can't say that until I see things about him that really make me believe that. I know it's entirely possible, but do you think he's going to be great? I have no idea. I have no idea. I would love, love to get to a point where I am convinced it's going to happen.
Sadly, my evaluation of quarterbacks around here is this: please don't be terrible. I never did think JP was going to be great, or Trent, or EJ, or any of these guys. No, I've gotten to the point where I just, you know, please don't be a bum, and we'll go from there. So, I would never throw that word around. I'd have to see him play and start making plays. Like, I would have to be a Texans fan last year watching Deshaun Watson against New England and go, wow, I wonder if this kid could turn out to be a great quarterback. I need to see some of those games before I even think of going down that road. This is Trent Edwards at 5-1. 803-0550 to join us. Happy Football Friday. Football Friday on WGR is brought to you by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. And by Tops Markets Grocery Delivery. Order online while you enjoy the game. We have phone lines open. This is the best hour to game. We got a lot of guests coming up today, so we'd love to get to your calls right away and get your thoughts on Josh Allen, the Bills, the Chargers. I tweeted this out. Who are the key players for the Bills to get a win on Sunday? Josh Allen and who else? Because we know Josh Allen will be on all of your lists. Who else do they need to come up big Sunday to beat the Chargers? 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. Your call's coming up. Sal with us this morning at 7. Bills running back Marcus Murphy at 7:30. Murph joins us at 8:30. That's all a part of Football Friday on WGR.
The trade of A.J. McCarron has had me scratching my head, because it's like, okay, he comes at a reasonable price. And again, I didn't think he was the equal at all of Tyrod Taylor, because I thought Taylor was still a quarterback that may not be great, but at least in 1 year can put up 23, 24 points a game. You know, now what you're looking at is, if Josh Allen does the best, what's it going to be? 15, 16, 17 points a game, and that really puts the defense in a tough position. But what I worry about is that one hit on him. I mean, you saw the preseason game where he had 5 sacks in the first half. I worry about that.
John Clayton joining Mike Shope and the Bulldog for his weekly spot. You can always find that on demand at WGR550.com, and of course through the radio.com app, which has all that stuff on demand. The Bills gearing up for, of course, the Chargers. No Joey Bosa for that game for LA. Last night, the Bengals started to blow out Baltimore about 28 or 21 to nothing. It was 28-7 early in that game. Andy Dalton, 4 touchdowns, 3 of those to A.J. Green. Joe Flacco, 14 of 29, a touchdown and 2 picks. So Baltimore loses, and the Bengals are 2-0. Ben Roethlisberger and Aaron Rodgers both missed out on practice yesterday for a second straight day. Hall of Fame nominees are out. First-time eligibles include Tony Gonzalez, Ed Reed, London Fletcher. The Bills have a number of defensive players eligible and to make the finalists. Daryl Talley, Steve Tasker's on the list. I mean, this is a very preliminary list with how many are out? Hundreds?
102, 109. Yeah, okay. Somewhere in that area.
Gotcha. Eric Carlson traded to San Jose for a package of players that you don't even care about. Sabres practice at Harbor Center today at 9:45 and then at 11:45. Split practices as training camp's underway. Tyler Seguin. Seguin! Right?
Yeah, is that that was
Tyler Seguin!
Was it the European announcers or something? Some
8 years.
Tyler Seguin!
8 years, $9.85 million for Seguin. And, yeah. Big weekend for UB, big weekend for SU. College football on the way this weekend.
See how the Stars tweeted out the Seguin signing?
I did.
That's hilarious.
It was very good.
What video get was? What
Super
game
Mario
was
Brothers.
Super Mario Brothers.
Or
that was great.
Whatever, Mario. Yeah. The original Mario
and
Brothers.
And he's blasting logos of other teams, and then he scores a goal on the goalie, and yeah. Up come the words, congratulations, 8 years, average 9.85. That's good. I
very
like that.
Very good.
803-0550. So who were the key players for the Bills to pull off a win Sunday against the LA Chargers? I would like to congratulate Stevie, who tweeted in, Kelly, Thurman, Reed, Smith, and Talley. That's good. I like our chances if those guys are playing in their prime. 803-0550 to join us. Travis tweeted in, whoever plays cornerback opposite Trey White. I will say Trey White, because I'm going to guess he's going to be shadowing Keenan Allen. In case you forgot, Keenan Allen last year against the Bills, 12 catches, 159 yards, and 2 touchdowns in the 54-24 game out there.
And this year, a little bit of advanced stats stuff. He's been lining up in the slot a lot this year.
Oh, okay.
60% of his snaps in the Charger game, he was on the inside. And the Bills do not,
that's not good,
travel Tre'Davious White.
Not into the slot.
No. So
they don't typically travel him, but I mean, I think they've never ruled out flip-flopping, but slot?
Right. So if you
who's
play...
Who's in the slot, by the way?
Is Taron Johnson.
If he doesn't play, is who's going in the slot? Is Raphael Bush playing a big nickel? Is Philip Gaines moving inside and Vontae Davis is active?
I'll tell you what, who is playing? Me, Keenan Allen in my daily fantasy.
Not that's a smart play.
Not my team, but Keenan Allen's on my my daily team.
I think that's a solid choice for you. I got a feeling he'll have a good game on Sunday. Phillip Rivers has done well against the Bills. Allen's it's a really tough matchup with the balance they have on offense with the running game and even Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, and they got I'm trying to remember Travis Benjamin. I think Melvin Gordon last week had over 100 yards receiving in the loss to the Chiefs. So they have a number of weapons the Bills have to worry about on Sunday at the stadium. So we'll take your calls on that at 803-0550 or 888-550-2550 and whatever else is on your mind with Sunday's matchup, because that's what we do on Football Friday.
The texter writes in, and it's got to be right. There's no way Flacco only had 29 attempts, did he?
Did I just do that?
He had 55 attempts, according to a texter.
Oh, did he?
Which
check.
Sounds, yeah, he was 32 of 55.
Oh, I don't know where I got those. Those might have been first half numbers,
okay.
So forget that.
32 of 55, two touchdowns, two picks for Flacco last night.
Who's the call? I dropped off the line. Who is it? Dan, was it? Or Dan? Dan. Go ahead, Dan. Sorry, I accidentally cut you off. I think he's still there. You there?
Yeah, I'm still here. So,
terrific.
Good morning, guys. One of the things, you had mentioned the Albert Breer article last segment, and I had saw a theory online that I thought was interesting as well, along the same lines, similar but not the same, in the fact that the plan was always Josh Allen to start, but with that Cincinnati game, when he kind of came up with open like a deer in headlights, what they basically did was to almost kind of, I don't want to say the word manipulate, but the fan base, they got rid of A.J. McCarron because they didn't want him to be an option, and they put Peterman in against the Ravens so they, you know, the fans could see what the coaches saw. That way nobody would be calling for Peterman because of the preseason that he had should Allen struggle. And then also with regard to the player that needs to perform on Sunday, in my opinion, is Jerry Hughes. They're going to need to get some kind of a pass rush. But ultimately, it's got to be Leslie Frazier to come up with some kind of a creative scheme to try and stagger that passing offense.
Mm-hmm. What's your suggestion about why they played Peterman?
My suggestion of why they played Peterman was to basically see, you know, really what he is, and the fact that that way, because he had such an amazing preseason, completing 80% of his passes, they didn't want any fan bases to start calling to start Peterman in the event Allen struggled.
It's a conspiracy theory. So they got rid of McCarron because they thought he could be an option, and they didn't want an option, so they figured, let's play Peterman. He'll look so bad, fans will be happy with Allen.
I think they played Peterman because he was the best quarterback in the preseason, and then he was so bad in their opener that they couldn't, with a straight face, roll him out for another game.
Again, I believe it.
I mean, that's the thing that's been weird about this week, is anybody that said, well, what would you have said if they started Allen in Baltimore? And we would have said, I guess the competition was a farce because Allen didn't win it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Peterman played the best of the group.
Yeah, he had three good games, right? He didn't really have a clunker.
He did.
The other guys had clunkers.
Hence the preseason pledge.
Yeah.
He was 80% completion percentage in the preseason and then went to Baltimore and was, 5 of 18?
Yeah, something like that.
We're going to have to memorize that stat line so I can bust it out.
I think I know he had 5 completions.
For 24 yards?
Sounds about right. Yeah, because Josh threw for 74.
Because Allen ran for 26.
He threw for 74. They had 98 yards passing between the two guys. So 24 must be. Yeah, I think you're right. I think 5 of 18. Mm-hmm. Let's get to Bobby in the Falls next. Bobby, you're on Football Friday on WGR.
Hi, guys. I'm just wondering if you're concerned that there's not a veteran quarterback on staff now to mentor Josh, or maybe to fall back on. I wonder if that was the downside of trading AJ, and that's my question. Thanks.
I definitely think it's a problem. I don't think it's a problem that they don't have a veteran guy to mentor Josh. I think it's a problem they don't have a veteran guy to just do the job while Allen gets more prepared for it. But Sean McDermott said it on Wednesday. There's no replacement for on-the-job experience. And if they're willing to take their lumps with him and have really bad games with him, you know, Jared Goff is an example of this. Goff in his first season went in and was terrible. In year two, he's ready to go. But what happened in that year one for Goff? He played in like five games. He played at the end of the season. They didn't roll him out for 15 and let him get beat up and, you know, kind of be a laughing stock. Not to say that that's definitely going to happen to Allen. Whenever we talk about this, I am not sold on any of the science. I don't have a strong, you can damage him or he needs to learn on the job. We've seen both do well and both do poorly. Guys that wait and then show up aren't good. Guys that go in right away are great, and vice versa. They're all different, you know, potential trees that could branch off of this. So I don't have a strong take on whether or not he's going to get ruined by this. He'll probably either be good or he won't be good.
Yeah. I think it's more about whether the guy is good or not. You know, I think the discussion of, you know, was David Carr ruined? Who did Sanchez come in and play right away?
He did, and he took them to the AFC Championship game in back-to-back years.
But he wasn't a good quarterback.
No, he had a good defense around him.
And a very good running game.
And that's the concern I have, is that Allen, I can't really expect him to be great, but I could expect him to do well if he had a great receiving core and a great offensive line, and the coordinator was on it. Not to say, I don't know much about the coordinator yet still with what they have here, but if Josh Allen stepped into the Chiefs offense, I would think, let's see it, kid. Yeah. You know, how good does Patrick Mahomes have to be to win offensive player of the week? I think it was a 14 of 27. He had four touchdown passes on
15 completions for 256 yards.
Right.
Yeah, right. He had big
15
plays.
Completions.
Yeah.
And the yards after catch and the scheme and what they're doing there, that's a good situation for him.
Yep.
And if he's the driver of that, then he's going to get a lot of credit. He's going to deserve it. To drive this offense is, yeah.
Good luck.
You're stuck in the Alabama mud.
But I'm you know, let's learn. Let's see.
That was not some sort of pun regarding Brian Daboll coming from Alabama. I was thinking about My Cousin Vinny for some reason. It just popped in my head.
Could be worse. It could be manure lagoons.
Yes, right.
I'm not worried. I know when John Clayton is on talking about worried about him getting hit, getting hurt. You know what? He could sit the first 10 games of the season, play the final six, and get hit then. I mean, you get the kid out there, you see what he can do. It's a learning experience for him. I do believe, I do put a lot of stock in, you know, you can learn even in bad times. You are learning by getting game reps, and that's important for him and his development. So I don't worry about any of that stuff. I don't think he'll be scarred. I think when we talk about guys that started right away and weren't good, it's in all likelihood they just weren't good quarterbacks. I don't think there was a franchise quarterback waiting to blossom, but since they started him in year one instead of year two, it completely changed the career path of that player. I just don't think that's the case. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. Football Friday. Who are the key players for the Bills to beat the Chargers? By the way, Joey Bosa is out. That helps.
That's great.
That really does make a big difference for the Bills' offensive line. Who are the key players for the Bills to pull off the win Sunday?
Next, you need Phillip Rivers to be out.
And then is Cardell's not the number two, is he?
That's a good question.
I should probably...
I'll find that. When we get back, the Chargers depth chart.
803-0550, lines open. Join us. Give us your opinion. Talk football. Football Friday, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. And by Topps Markets Grocery Delivery. Order online while you enjoy the game.
I'm super excited and thankful for the chance to be the starter of this team. You know, this is something I've dreamed for a long time. But now that it's here, you know, just coming Sunday, just trying to do my job. You know, not trying to do too much, trusting those around me, and ultimately trying to be the quarterback that this team needs, which is, you know, moving the ball, moving the chain on third down, and, you know, putting points on the board.
That is Josh Allen. He gets his first start for the Buffalo Bills on Sunday against the L.A. Chargers. We'll have the game here on WGR. I know you have done your research on the backup quarterback for the Chargers. I have a stat of the day to pass along as well. So let me give you a quick stat of the day. Phillip Rivers is the opposing quarterback on Sunday. Mm. Stat of the day from Phillip Rivers. Last week, he threw for over 400 yards and three touchdowns in a loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. Phillip Rivers has thrown for 300 or more yards 58 times in his NFL career. If anyone would like to do the research and get back to me, how far back do we have to go?
To get
58 300-yard passing games for the Bills. How far back are we going?
I would bet they don't have 58 in their franchise history.
I actually thought that, but then I thought that's not right. That couldn't be. Is it? I did think that when I saw that stat. Is it possible the Bills don't, if the Bills have less in their, I mean, Kelly, 60s, what did they throw for in the 60s? I don't know if Joe Ferguson did it a handful of times. Anyway, so somebody do the research. You don't have to worry about it, but there's your stat of the day. 58 300-plus yard games, 53 games where he's thrown three or more touchdown passes, Phillip Rivers.
We went to the break. I said I would find you the – you can keep this music rolling. Why not? It's fun music. The backup quarterback for the Chargers. Ready?
It's not Cardale Jones then.
Nope.
Okay.
You could ask me 20 question style stuff, and we'll see how long it takes you to get there. The backup quarterback for the Chargers.
Is he a journeyman quarterback?
I think by definition now, yes. Journeyman means what? Played for how many teams?
At least five.
At least four. Oh, okay.
Oh, then,
four
or five? Then no.
Okay.
He hasn't played for four or five teams.
Okay.
Was he an established starter, like started for a few years for a team?
You guys have to be more specific.
More than 32 starts in his NFL career.
He has 31 career starts.
Okay. 31 career starts.
No.
A couple years.
Okay.
And less than four teams. Was he a first-round draft pick?
No.
Back up for the Chargers.
Did he go to a big-time program in college?
We're talking Power 5?
Yeah, Power 5.
Power 5.
Hold on.
Okay.
No, but you think yes.
Okay, who do you... He didn't go to Power 5, but you think it's a big-time
program? We fought about
this
once. The answer is no.
Boise State?
But you think yes.
Boise State. Who do you think is a big-time program that's not Power 5?
I did it for Guess the Prospect.
He did it for Guess the Prospect, and he called this a premier destination, and I balked at him. I'm like, what? What world is that? It's okay. Not.
It was Florida State. I think I remember.
It was not Florida State.
Power Five.
No.
It's got to be.
It's not Florida State.
Oh no! What was it? What school was it?
Central Florida.
No.
University of Houston.
Why can't I remember this?
You can keep asking questions. You guys are really bad at 20 questions.
I'm trying to think of the name instead of coming up with questions.
Oh, just ask more questions. You'll get there. The Chargers' backup quarterback.
Did he play in the AFC East?
Yes.
Okay, so did he play with the Bills?
No.
Okay. New England, Miami, other Jets.
Did at one point he back up Tom Brady?
No.
Kellen Clemens?
No.
I throw crap out there at this
point.
He
was their backup for a while, though.
Did he play for the Jets?
Yes.
Is it a McCown?
No.
Jets quarterback.
People are screaming at you.
Oh, Geno Smith, for
yes,
God's sakes, Geno Howard.
Smith.
It's Geno freaking Smith.
Because he said West Virginia
was an elite program.
An elite
power.
West Virginia.
That's right.
And I'm like,
yes,
what are you
yes,
talking
remember.
About? West Virginia.
The sad thing is, Brayton, I was here for that show.
Hey,
I remember
you know
us
what?
Having that
back
discussion
in,
now.
Back in the day, people probably would have considered it to be a pretty big
Listen,
program.
It's a fine program. It's just when you said it and guessed the prospect, I thought we were going like Bama, something like that. And when it was revealed to be West Virginia, I have family members that went to West Virginia. So, you know, I got to keep them in their place.
I remember that discussion. Yes.
Got to keep them in their place. I also have family members that went to Purdue, and Syracuse just announced a home-and-home with Purdue.
Oh,
so,
go Boilers!
Yeah, so I think this means in 2023, this is the longest I've ever made plans ahead of time. I think we might be going to Purdue.
Very nice. I like that.
Geno Smith is their backup.
Hey, so Jim Kelly, according to the football database, had 29 300-yard passing games. So we only have to find 30 others to top Phillip Rivers in Bills history. Right? Is it possible that the quarterbacks not named Jim Kelly can account for 30 300-yard passing games?
Is Rivers going to the Hall of Fame?
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Right? It's not even a debate.
I mean, there's not a lot of postseason in there.
I know, but come on.
There's not a lot of postseason success, I should say.
This guy throws for 4,000 yards every year on a regular basis. I know there's not a lot of postseason success and not even a Super Bowl berth. I wouldn't think there'd be a question about him going to the Hall of Fame. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. When we get back, it is Football Friday. We want to hear from you. Who are the key players for the Bills to pull off the win on Sunday? Josh Allen and who else? Because I think you're all going to say Josh Allen. And whatever else you want to bring up, Bills Chargers, that's fine. Sal is going to join us next, and he will break down Sunday's contest as we continue Football Friday on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.